We're talking late round best ball targets on Roto-Viz Radio.
What's up, Roto-Viz?
Welcome into the Roto-Viz Fantasy Football Show. I'm Dave Cabin alongside Curtis Patrick. We're two of the owners here at Roto-Viz. Very excited to close down our third week hosting this show with Curtis. We're going to talk about something we have not talked about at length yet, and that is just specifically an episode for best ball leagues, best ball drafts. We're going to be talking about some players that we think make for good targets later on in the draft. What's going on, Curtis?
Man, I'm pumped. Another week in the bag after this episode. It is exciting to talk best ball. It's not something that I'm as known for. I really prefer to write about and speak about Dynasty, but I really love this format. Mike Beers and I like really forged our friendship years ago, playing 150, 200 MFL 10s back in the day, if you remember that format. And just really been talking about roster construction for a long time. Back in my days at Pro Football Focus, I was really into like even the three-man best ball drafts.
Yep.
And, you know, wrote some strategy articles on that are still, you know, some of my favorite work that I've done. And so, yeah, I'm pumped to talk best ball and really talk about some of these lesser known names that could provide a little bit of value at this early juncture.
All right. I am going to start things off here. One of the players that I wanted to talk about is a name that I think might make some people's stomach turns. Nonetheless, though, I'm going to go out on a limb, and I'm going to talk about one Breshad Perriman, who's being selected in round 25. I get this is not a very exciting name, but when we keep in mind that this is a guy you can get in the 25th round, who I think could likely be the most targeted player in his wide receiver core, that's something not to scoff at. A little bit of perspective, and I'm not saying that Breshad Perriman is going to be Marvin Jones. Marvin Jones finished last year as the wide receiver 18 in PPR. We know Kenny Golladay is gone. We know Jones is gone. Amendola is gone. Golladay vacates 32 targets, Jones 115, Amendola 69. That's 216 targets up for grabs. Now, the Lions did bring in Tyrell Williams. They still have Quintez Cephas. Geronimo Allison is now on the team, right? There's some names. We know Hawkinson is there, but I actually expect that Williams and Perriman will lead the charge in targets. It's not out of the realm of possibility that Perriman in a full season gets to 100 and plus targets. He's posted, this is such a weak stat. You know you're reaching, but when you're in round 25, it's okay. He has posted one wide receiver, one game every season since 2018. So even if you got one of those weeks, which I think on that target total is very possible, and I think you might even get some wide receiver 2 weeks in there dispersed with some wide receiver 3 weeks, that would be enough to justify that round 25 ADP. Now, when I talk about best ball leagues and I say I'm targeting somebody, that in no way means that I'm getting them on 75% of my teams. But this does mean that I could come up somewhere between 15 to 20% on Breshad Perriman. And I might even say that also Tyrell Williams, I will intermix in there. Is this entirely ludicrous, Curtis? Feel free to push back on this if need be.
I mean, it's hard to push back on a round 25 dart throw, okay? And to your point, I'm looking in the Roto-Viz NFL Stat Explorer, our weekly Stat Explorer, one of my favorite just kind of quick reference tools if I'm just going to screen for what a player's done in recent seasons. I love seeing those green bars for Breshad Perriman. I see three games over 24 points over the last two seasons, just the last two seasons. I mean, if you were to get one game over 20 points, he's assured to be, in your starting lineup in that given week. And I imagine he'd have a pretty outstanding win rate for 25th round draft pick if he starts at all for your team with that type of blow up. We know he can score on the long throws. Who knows what Detroit's going to look like? It's literally a complete Frankenstein experiment. They're bringing in players from every corner of the map and trying to create something new. It feels like a probably an experiment that's going to go really bad. but if they're playing from behind, I mean, maybe Perriman gets a bunch of yellow bombs from Jared Goff and he learns how to take the reins off. I mean, who knows? I'm not going to criticize it. If you get one start out of a 25th round pick, you've done your job, and he's shown that he can do it. He's shown that he can do it in different offenses over the last two seasons, even 27 points last year as a New York Jet, I believe. So, yep. Hey, crazier things have happened. The Tyrell Williams thing is pretty interesting, too. Kind of fits that Kenny Galladay archetype there. I think that's actually a pretty interesting pair of names for later in your draft, Dave.
Yeah, and I mean, you would think that one of the two should at least find some fantasy relevance, despite what we know about this Lions offense, despite what you might think about Jared Goff. But that's enough on the Lions wide receivers. Why don't you throw one of the names that you picked out for me when you were looking at best ball drafts in that late round ADP?
Yeah, I'll go over to the running back position, and this is not necessarily a player that's shown us anything yet, but I'm playing the situation here. So the player is Darrington Evans for the Tennessee Titans. So Derrick Henry, he's been an absolute stud the last 2 years, but he's also touched the ball over 400 times in two straight seasons. And that's, you know, it's very rare to do that in two straight seasons and three straight seasons. I'll take the under on that happening. Evans was a day two pick last season. The Tennessee Titans have a new offensive coordinator who might be more interested in changing the way that offense looks. The Titans could, you know, maybe not be as good this year. And Derrick Henry still, even in 2020, did not get the receiving looks that we would want to see out of him. Perhaps Evans can carve out a role for himself, even in games where Henry is not injured or scripted out, those types of things. So it's just a situational play. Darrington Evans is like a huge, like zero RB roster construction, like theory play for me this season. And it's really more just a fade on Henry being able to keep doing this year after year after year, especially when some things are changing around him. Let me find his ADP. Why don't you go ahead and share what you think about Darrington Evans? Is this crazy? Would you have liked to have seen something from him before investing here?
No, I think it's fine, and I don't think it's crazy at all. A little bit of perspective on him for people that might not know much about him, because he did come out of Appalachian State, I believe. Weighs about 200 pounds, little under 6 feet, was fast, though. Had a 4.41 40, pulling that up now. Yep, 70 inches, so 5'10", 203. It's a speed score of 107, has the requisite athleticism. What we know, though, about certain teams is it doesn't really matter. Like, once you get a backup in there with a player that you're taking in this ADP, the Titans are going to be able to support him to some degree. You know, if you're looking at what he could do in comparison to Henry, I think it's a stretch to say that it's a lock he gets to 80% of Derrick Henry. But even if he comes in and gets some opportunity and gets to 60% of Derrick Henry, at a player you're getting late in drafts, I'm perfectly fine with that. And then also, if I look at this team, as it's constituted now, it looks to me like it's pretty clear Darrington Evans, and you can't always say this with backup running backs, but I do think it in terms of guys that you could pinpoint as this guy's going to come in and be the replacement that gets the majority of work, I would say it's going to be Darrington Evans for Tennessee. So I am in no way opposed to it. And also, Blair Andrews, in a number of our drafts that we did last year together, he was making the case for us going after Evans on the teams where we had like no running backs. And generally, when Blair starts recommending something to me, I follow suit with it.
Yeah, there's worse ways to come up with your draft strategy than that. I mean, I'm looking in the FFPC ADP and exposure reports, one of our best ball tools. Darrington Evans is positional ADP RB78. Right now, RB78 with an ADP of 294 overall. So this is a free, very high upside play. We know the Titans, you know, want a ground and pound. And if Henry were to go down, I mean, we're going to see if Evans can live up to that third round draft capital from last season. So at a price of free and an offense that has shown they will lean on a running back. Yeah, it's a pick that I like this year. He you know, similar to your Breshad Perriman pick there. Evans is somebody that I would look to be at, you know, 2.5, maybe to 3 times, you know, average ownership. So I'd be willing to go up to 24-25% on a player like this late.
That's pretty impressive. That is pretty impressive. So to keep things moving here, a guy that I'm really interested in late is Paris Campbell. Now, he's going in round 21 as wide receiver 67. There is not a lot that you can point to in his NFL career here. We saw him play his rookie season. Unfortunately, his year last year came to a close pretty quickly. Played in two games, did not do much in week two because he got hurt. But week one, 9 targets, 6 receptions, 71 yards. Also got a rushing attempt sprinkled in. Now, that does not scream. This is a player that you need to draft. But let's quickly revisit some of his profile because I think that he could really be, and this is what we were expecting when he was coming out of school, a player that gets used similar to the way that we saw Curtis Samuel get used last year for the Panthers. So, Campbell, 98th percentile 40-yard dash, 4.31 speed, a really good freak score, athletic across the board more or less, 98th percentile broad, 91st percentile vertical jump, 95th percentile shuttle. The point being here is that he's a player, you give him opportunities to make plays, he can be a playmaker. You go into the RotoViz box score scout, you enter in his draft pick of 59, his weight of 205, enter in his 40 time, you look at a list of comps. Who's the closest? Terry McLaurin. You see Curtis Samuel coming in at his third. Other guys, Chris Conley, Martavis Bryant, Mecole Hardman, DK Metcalf, Miles Boykin, Bruce Ellington. I don't know. I don't think I skipped over Curtis Samuel, but I mean, that is a really solid list of names. What I love most about this is you're seeing a player that when I think about ways Paris Campbell could be used, actually hits on that list. Also, athletic comps, we see Terry McLaurin making it in there as well. DJ Moore, Mike Wallace, Torrey Smith. Some exciting names on both just the purely athletic comps as well as the production comps from college. And we saw that last year it was looking like he could be a player that gets sprinkled in. Think what you want about Carson Wentz, but I do think that there's a role for him playing with T.Y. Hilton, playing with Michael Pittman to be a guy that the Colts do use on a team that should be in contention in a lot of games. I think it's going to make him relevant enough to justify that round 21 ADP, and I actually feel pretty good about getting him there. So I actually might be close to 20-25% on Campbell.
Well, I really liked Paris Campbell as a prospect. Given current ADP, I really don't like this pick much, and it's not because I don't like the player. I don't like the Colts situation. I don't think they're going to be a high-volume passing team, and we know that they like to get Nyheim Hines and hopefully Jonathan Taylor more involved on those shorter depth of target throws. We also see that Carson Wentz might be busted. And T.Y. Hilton coming back was really the main death blow there. I would have liked to have seen him get out of the way for Paris Campbell to have a chance at, larger volume. And the other problem here is I like a couple of the players in this round who also have a lot of upside, but I've shown it before. So we see Russell Gage in round 21. And we also see John Brown going over to Las Vegas, presumably to assume the Nelson Agholor role, which was very impactful. Very, very surprised year out of Nelson Agholor last year. So I think I like both of those situations better in this round. If Paris Campbell were to fall below some of those guys, maybe a round or two to where we get past like even Emmanuel Sanders being with Josh Allen this year, that's when I'd be really interested. If I'm choosing between Paris Campbell and like Van Jefferson, Brian Edwards, Josh Reynolds, like that group of players, that's when I would be looking to pull the trigger.
Yeah, perfectly fair. And, it's funny, like Russell Gage, I thought about John Brown, but I made the case for my man Paris Campbell. AJ Green, who's the other wide receiver in that round, I will not be making a case for. I would be lying if I said that your thoughts there don't make me question my support there of Campbell just a little bit, but I'm still feeling... but I'm still feeling good. All right, Curtis, what's another name that you had identified that you want to talk about?
I'm going to stick at the running back position for the second guy. And this is an older running back, one of the greater headshots in the NFL with that beautiful, full and lush mustache, Giovanni Bernard, currently still a Cincinnati Bengal. Man, what a season he had last year. Not maybe the way that we would want him to put it together with Joe Mixon being out of the picture, but 4 games over 20 points in PPR leagues. That alone is enough to kind of get me excited. He showed that he can still perform at a fantasy RB1 level when he gets the chance to. He's also been rumored as a potential trade target. Now, that could be the Bengals trying to get out from under his cap number. But it also could be that, you know, maybe there aren't quite as many backs with the receiving acumen in this class that NFL front offices are feeling great about. And maybe they like what they saw out of Bernard and what Adams says. He could even benefit from going a place that doesn't have a Mixon type player, Mixon level player in front of him. Now, speaking of his time filling in for Mixon last season in this new Cincinnati offense, Mixon's missed 2+ games in 3 of his 4 seasons as a pro. And we really only need Bernard to get one or two of those games to have a plus win rate. And he still catches enough balls that he can put together those 9 and 10 point games to help you limp through some of those heavy bye weeks on your squad. So I like the 29-year-old Gio Bernard. Does that feel too gross to you, or do you see some of the receiving game upside there still?
No, I actually really like Bernard. And, you know, I made my 2 picks and I threw 2 back to you. I was hoping that Bernard would slip to me if we view this as getting to talk about these guys as a draft. Yeah, no, I've always been a big fan of Giovanni Bernard's. I think he's still got it. You know, actually, last year I was making the case that the Kansas City Chiefs should have just acquired Giovanni Bernard instead of using a first-round pick on Clyde Edwards-Helaire. So I still think he's got some in the tank. And even if he stays with Cincinnati, I still think that we see him getting some level of usage. Probably a game or two that Joe Mixon is, you know, either unavailable or limited, and then Gio can easily justify the ADP there.
Well, here's what I want to add. I want to add at the end of that. Yeah. Well, I want to add one more thing on Gio. So last year he had an ADP outside the top 200, 208. Okay. He has a win rate of 10.9%. That's pretty impressive. And if you play in a cash style, top 6 payout style, best ball format, 57.7% in that format. So he goes out and he returns value last year in a pretty big way. And now he's being drafted with an ADP of 287.9. He's even cheaper this year after showing what he could do last year. 5, 6, 7 rounds cheaper in some cases, depending on your draft. So you're not paying any level of premium. That's why he's still interesting.
Yeah, for sure. All right, so I think we have time for one more player. Who do you want to talk about, Manny Sanders or Jamison Crowder?
I'll keep it quick on Manny Sanders, and then you give me something quick on Jamison Crowder, because I think they're both great plays.
Right,
Manny Sanders, I'm going to bring him up here because he's got 3 straight seasons with 20+ fantasy points over expectation. He's done that with 3 different teams, 3+ different quarterbacks, 3 different offensive schemes. And now he goes to Buffalo to be Josh Allen's number 2 or number 3 option. I think this is like a potential smash Manny Sanders situation. Really like him joining that receiving core with Josh Allen, and I'll be gobbling up many shares of Manny Sanders unless he gets too expensive.
Yeah, that's a really nice pick. A lot of potential for him to severely outplay that ADP. Real quick thoughts on Jamison Crowder in the context of this Jets offense now, presumably playing with the rookie, which won't necessarily scare me off. You look at this team, Corey Davis is there now. There's Denzel Mims, Josh Doctson. I think that what we're going to see, and this is a player, Crowder, who took 69% of snaps out of the slot last year. So even with the rookie, I think he can get used in those short yardage situations. Jamison Crowder last season, he was 18 in total touchdowns, 30 in Whopper, 16 in Racer, ranked 25th in points per game, also 25th in expected points per game, 31 in fantasy points over expectation per game. He was a wide receiver, 33% of time in 12 games, had 89 targets. So now there has been some turnover in the roster. Perriman is gone. Braxton Berrios is gone. Corey Davis, probably better than those guys. There's still, though, a fair amount of targets that left that they will be making up for. I expect Crowder could be the most targeted player. As a result of that, when I see him going this late, I think he just makes sense.
Yeah, man. These are both guys that are outside the top 200 in FFPC best ball ADP right now. Jamison Crowder has been on a losing streak really dating back to January when draft started. Started out as a top 140 pick, now going outside the top 210. Manny Sanders, ADP sitting right around the 240 range. So we're talking very late in drafts. Don't mind really even stacking these two players. If you had to pick one, let's make it actionable. If you had to pick one, Jamison Crowder around 210, Manny Sanders around 240, who do you like? I'm taking Manny.
Yeah, I'm taking Sanders too, and it goes back to just to the fact that the Bills, there are so much, there are so many more scenarios in which this team stays relevant, and you don't need them to get in these situations where if they're falling behind and you try to get some garbage time points, because in the context of Crowder's offense, I don't know if garbage time works out for him the way that it might work out for receivers on other teams or in the confines of his team. So I have to default to going Sanders there. When we saw what John Brown was able to do with them, it just feels like a really good spot for him.
Dave, we agree. We totally agree. Everyone go get Manny Sanders at 240.
All right, excellent. All right, Curtis, that takes us to the end of the third episode of week three. Leave the people with something to head into their weekend with on this Friday.
Oh, man. We are in April. We're nearing the NFL draft. I can feel it in my blood. Like, I can feel the carbonation starting to form, the excitement bubbles just in my blood. I can feel it, Dave. I can feel it. The draft is in Cleveland. It might be like a geography thing that I'm that close. I'm just down in Columbus. Do I want to drive up? Do I want to be part of it? Do I want to wear my mask? I'm vaccinated. Do I want to get in on all that mix? Do I just want to watch it on my TV? We got volume two of the RotoViz Fantasy Football Rookie Draft Guide coming out pretty soon. Only a few more pro days. Maybe all of them will have been completed by the time this episode airs. Man, what is not to be excited about? This is like one of the best times of the football calendar year. That's the way I feel. And if you don't feel that way, get on my level because you're not enjoying life enough.
I think if they're not feeling that way, what they really need to do is sign up for one of these RotoViz Best Ball Triflex Dynasty Leagues. And beyond that, they also need to try to win a shirt, right? They need to call up 978-615-9214. And I actually want to point out to people here, the level of or the percentage of people that actually call into contexts like this versus the number of people that listen is extremely small. So you have a very good chance of picking up that sweet RotoViz shirt. Again, 978-615-9214. We will be back with another three episodes next week. Thanks for listening to the RotoViz Fantasy Football Show. Don't forget to rate, review, and subscribe. Follow us on Twitter at DaveCabinFF and at CPatrickNFL. Email us at RotoVizFFShow@gmail.com. Visit RotoViz.com/podcast for more information on listener-only discounts. And until next time, thanks for stopping by.